Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this your holy Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. Truly, Father, we know that you love us because you sent your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And even though we come before you with heavy hearts this day, we know, Father, that you're going to give us the comfort that we seek. We know, Father, that you will bless each and every one of your servants. Help us, Father, as we seek to overcome Satan the devil in this world, as Yahshua the Messiah overcame. We know, Father, that there's going to be pressure on your people, especially in these last days. But as we prepare, Father, for that soon coming kingdom, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your implanted word, that you would direct us, that you would teach us and guide us, and that you would bless us, that we would be more like your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who overcame Satan the devil in this world. Help us, Father, through his shed blood to overcome. There are many of us, Father, who need a touch from you. We need to hear your word, Father, and we need a blessing this day. So, Father, forgive us for our sinful nature, and we come before you seeking to do that which is right in your sight. We love you and thank you for all of the many blessings you've bestowed upon each and every one of your servants. It's in Yahshua's holy name we pray, coming before you at this time. Hallelujah. How deep is your love for Almighty Yahweh? We're going to start over in Psalm 116. This is our opening scripture. Psalm 116. I love Yahweh because he hears my voice and my supplication. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death compassed me, and the pains of Sheol got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of Yahweh. O Yahweh, I plead you, deliver my soul. Gracious is Yahweh and righteous. Yes, our Elohim is merciful. Yahweh preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for Yahweh has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before Yahweh in the land of the living. I believe, for I will yet speak. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to Yahweh for all his benefits toward me? And we know, brethren, that there's nothing we can do, nothing we can render or give Yahweh for the blessings that he's bestowed upon us. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh. I will pay my vows to Yahweh in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. And we know this is true. A lot of the versions say costly in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. It costs Yahweh something. He loses something. But he also gains because he loves us so dearly. Yahweh loves us, brethren. That's the title of the message. Yahweh loves us. Here, the psalmist is telling us in verse 1, I love Yahweh because he hears me. He hears my prayers. He hears my voice. He hears me when I'm calling upon him. Verse Verse 16, it says, O Yahweh, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bond. See, we were bound to sin in this life, brethren. And Yahweh has released us from sin through the death of his son, Yahshua the Messiah. Truly, Yahweh loves us because he sent his only begotten son for our sins. Verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of Yahweh. I will pay my vows to Yahweh in the presence of all his people. And if we don't come together, how can the people see that? If we aren't a unity, if we aren't a group of people who come together to worship Yahweh at the feast days, come to together to worship Yahweh on the Sabbath days, how can this be seen? It says, I will pay my vows to Yahweh in the presence of all his people. That means his people are unified, brethren. That means his people come together. That means they worship together. In the courts of Yahweh's house, in the middle of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. See, our goal is to always come together one day to be in Jerusalem to worship Almighty Yahweh in his courts, to come before him with praise, singing of the glory of our Father in heaven. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 1. And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And we see Egypt is synonymous with sin. He's brought us out of sin, out of the house of sin. Because sin had us, we were bondservants of sin. And through Yahshua the Messiah, he freed us. You shall have no other Elohim before me. No other Elohim. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous El. Visiting the iniquity, the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. See? We're supposed to love Yahweh. You shall not make wrong use of the name of Yahweh your Elohim, for Yahweh will not leave unpunished the man who misuses his name. So the name is very important. We have to understand the name was given to us for a reason. Yahweh's name means I am eternal. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 28. Yahweh loves his people. Verse 28, it says, And Yahweh heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And Yahweh said to me, I've heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go, say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do therefore as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall not walk in all the way which Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. I mean, you shall walk in all the way which Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Now, when we look at the commandments of Almighty Yahweh, He tells us to keep these commandments. If we keep these commandments, we are expressing our love to Him. How do you express your love to Him? And it's by keeping the commandments, brethren. Turn over to chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Start in verse 1. Therefore, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim and keep His charge and His statutes and His ordinances and His commandments always. It's not something that we just do sometime. We do it all the time. See? It should be a rarity for us to fall, for us to sin. It's not that it's not going to happen, because we know the scripture there tells us a righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. But it's there for a reason. That's the exception. That's not the rule. And know you this day, for I speak not with your children that have not known and that have not seen the correction of Yahweh your Elohim, His greatness, His mighty hand and His outstretched arm, His signs and His works which He did in the midst of Egypt, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land. And what He did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and to their chariots, and how He made the water of the Red Sea to overwhelm them as they pursued after you, and how Yahweh has destroyed them to this day. You know what? He had the victory over all of the mighty ones of Egypt, all of their idols. He had a victory over each and every one of them. Verse 5, and what He did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what He did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents, and every living thing that followed them in the middle of all Israel, because they had went idolatry. But your eyes, in verse 7, have seen all the great work of Yahweh which He did. Therefore shall you keep every commandment which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you go over to possess. And for us, it's the kingdom, because that's the land that we go over to possess. See? That you may prolong your days in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give to them, and to their seed a land flowing with milk and honey. And I'm telling you, that kingdom is going to be even greater. For the land which you go into possess is not as the land of Egypt from where you came out, from where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot, as a garden of herbs, but the land where you go over to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land which Yahweh Elohim cares for. The eyes of Yahweh Elohim are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. We still have a couple months to go before the end of the year and before the beginning of the next year. We want to keep that in mind. And it shall come to pass, if you shall listen diligently to all my commandments, which I command you this day, to love Yahweh. See, we have to reciprocate. Yahweh first loved us. Even before we knew Him, He loved us and sent His Son so that we could be called the children of Elohim. It says, to love Yahweh Elohim and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. that I will give the rain of your land in its season, the earlier and latter rain. That's the Moreh and the Malkush, the earlier and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil, and I will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you shall eat and be full. Take heed for yourselves, lest your heart becomes deceived, and you turn aside and serve other Elohim and worship them. And the anger of Yahweh is kindled against you, and he shuts up the heavens so that there shall be no rain. And the land shall not yield its fruit, and you perish quickly from off the good land which Yahweh gives you. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, it says, and it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoever of all the families of the earth that goes not up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt goes not up, and comes not, neither shall it be upon them. And there shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now this is going to be in the kingdom, brother. This is giving you an example. We need to keep the feast now so that we receive the physical rain. But if we want that spiritual rain, we're going to go as well. Because that's where we're taught the word of Yahweh. We're taught to love Yahweh with all our heart and soul. Jacob chapter 1, or James chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 12. Jacob 1, or James 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, but when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh promises to them that love him. See, we have to love Almighty Yahweh. It's a prerequisite for being in the kingdom. You have to love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Yahweh, for Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. So these things that tempt us are within us, see, which we should have control over. This is why we have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And Yahshua has victory over death. See? Death has no power over Yahshua or the first fruits. Be not deceived in verse 16, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation. Neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, if we're first fruits, we're going to be like Yahshua. And Yahshua has overcome death. And we can overcome death as well if we follow in Yahshua's footsteps. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, this book Paul wrote in 61 Common Era. 61, 9 years before the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. Paul and Timothy, servants of the Messiah Yahshua, to all the saints in the Messiah Yahshua that are at Philippi, or that are at Baltimore, or that are at New Orleans, or that are in Salinas, or wherever you may be, brethren, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. I thank my Elohim upon all my remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine on behalf of you, all making my supplication with joy for your fellowship and furtherance of the good tidings from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Yahshua the Messiah. In other words, every one of you that have been baptized, that work is going to be perfected. See, until the return of Yahshua or until your death. Because you're going to be raised with Yahshua as first fruits. Even as it is right for me to be thus minded on behalf of you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the good tidings, you are partakers with me of grace. For Elohim is my witness how I long after you all in the tender mercies of the Messiah Yahshua. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and void of offense to the day of the Messiah, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Yahshua the Messiah, to the glory and praise of Yahweh. See, Paul wanted them to understand that your love may abound more and more. Your love must grow. In a good marriage, the love deepens as the years go by. You care for one another so much that you would be willing to die for one another. Yahshua died for us, brethren, so that we could be in his kingdom. Turn over to John chapter 3. Very familiar passage, John 3:16. It says, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Yahweh is the only one that can give eternal life through his Son, Yahshua the Messiah. If we choose him, we can choose eternal life. For Yahweh sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. See, so many people get caught up in this judgment thing. See, because they are small-minded. They're seeing the world through their own eyes. And you know what? The way you judge, you're going to be judged. The more you judge, the more you're going to be judged. It's going to come back to you the way you treat others. And people don't seem to understand that. If you roll a stone, it's coming back on you. If you dig a ditch for someone else, you're going to fall in it. He that believes on him is not judged. He that believes not has been judged already, because he believed not on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. Is Yahshua's name important? Absolutely. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. For their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and comes not into the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifest, and that they have been worked in Yahweh. If you believe the scriptures, if you believe the Bible, you have something up on the world, because the world is very, condescending. They don't understand or believe that this is the word of Yahweh. They don't believe that it's true. But many of these prophecies we know have come to pass, and there are many more that are still yet to be fulfilled. In Jeremiah chapter 30, turn with me there. Jeremiah chapter 30. The word of Yahweh, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, "In this manner speaks Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. See, he's the living El, the mighty one of Israel, saying, write for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you in a book. For lo, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will turn again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says Yahweh. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Did the people of Israel return to the land of Israel? Yes, they did. After they had been in the captivity, they came back. Not only from Babylonian captivity, they came back from being scattered throughout all the earth. And it's still going on right now with the Aliyah. The Jews are going back to the Holy Land. But we're going to see a different fulfillment of what we're going to talk about. What I'm saying is that the prophecy came true, but it's not totally fulfilled yet, because Israel hasn't come back, just the tribe of the Jews. And these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Thus says Yahweh, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man does travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, as a woman that's about to give birth? And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. And it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off your neck and will burst your bonds. And strangers shall no more make him their bondman, but they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up to them. Now, I have a question. Talks about David, their king, whom I will raise up to them. David had already died many, many years before this prophecy. Therefore, verse 10, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, says Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be quiet and at ease, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says Yahweh, to save you. For I will make a full end of all the nations, all the Gentiles, where I have scattered you, but I will not make a full end of you. But I will correct you in measure, and I will in no wise leave you unpunished. Now, this David that he's speaking of here is the Savior, Yahshua. He's the one that's going to be king of Israel, that they're going to worship, that they're going to follow, who will save. See, in verse 10 it says, I will save you from afar. Our salvation comes through Yahshua the Messiah, brethren. He is the one that's going to save Israel. I drop down to verse 18. It says, in this manner, says Yahweh, behold, I will turn again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwelling places. And the city shall be built upon its own hill, and the palace shall be inhabited after its own manner. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as before time, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their prince shall be of themselves. He's going to be one of the Hebrews, one of Yahweh's people. And their ruler shall proceed from the middle of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach to me. For who is he that has boldness to approach to me, says Yahweh? And you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Who has the boldness to approach to Yahweh? Behold, the tempest of Yahweh, even his wrath, has gone forth, a sweeping tempest. It shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yahweh shall not return until he is executed, till he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you shall understand it. He's given us a specific time that we're going to be able to understand this prophecy. And I'm telling you, we can understand it today. Now, we're going to continue in Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, in the beginning of 31 in verse 1, it says, at that time. Now, I have a little arrow pointed up to the end of the previous verse, in the latter days. At that time, it's talking about the latter days, says Yahweh, will I be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, not just the Jewish people. See, there are 12 tribes. And they shall be my people. In this manner, says Yahweh, the people that were left of the sword found favor in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yahweh appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again will I build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. And shall you be adorned with your tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Again shall you plant vineyards upon the mountains of Samaria, and planters shall plant, and shall enjoy the fruit of it. But there shall be a day that the watchmen upon the hills of Ephraim shall cry, arise and let us go up to Zion, to Yahweh our Elohim. See? At that time, we're talking about a time of spiritual renewal. We're talking about a time in the kingdom of Yahweh. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31, we'll read down to the end of the chapter. What then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who is against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him give us freely all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of Yahweh's elect? See, because Yahweh loves his people. He loves his elect. It is Yahweh who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is the Messiah, Yahshua, that died. Yes, rather, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of Yahweh, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, even as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And when we're going through these things, the tribulation, anguish, persecution, and famine, nakedness, peril, and sword, this too shall pass. It won't last, brother, because we've been promised the kingdom. For your sake, we are killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, Yahweh loved us. He loves us. So we can go through what we need to go through to get to that kingdom because we've received the victory through Yahshua the Messiah already. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Messiah Yahshua, our Master. Yahweh loves his people, brethren. The question is, do we love him? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 22. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 22. It says, "And now, Israel, what does your Elohim require of you but to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him?" That's what Yahweh requires. He wants us to love him. And how do we love him? By keeping his commandments. And to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. We cannot make excuses, brethren. To keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I command you this day, for your good. They've been given to us for our good, not to hurt us, but to get us to that point where we can overcome this life, this world, and Satan the devil. Behold, to Yahweh your Elohim belongs the heaven and the heaven of heaven, the earth with all that is in it. Yet Yahweh had a delight in your fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all peoples, as at this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For Yahweh your Elohim, he is the El of Elohim, the sovereign of rulers, the great El, and the mighty, and the terrible, who regards not persons, nor takes reward. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the sojourner, in giving him food and raiment. Therefore love the sojourner, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall fear Yahweh your Elohim. Him shall you serve, and to him shall you hold fast. And by his name shall you swear. He is your praise, and he is your Elohim, that has done for you these great and terrible things, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down into Egypt, 70 persons, and now Yahweh, your Elohim, has made you as the stars of heaven for multitude. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verses 1 to 3. I love you, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my El, my rock in whom I will take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon Yahweh, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemy. Yahweh has given us the victory, brethren, over Satan the devil in this world through Yahshua the Messiah. For our closing passage, turn over to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 7. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yahweh, and everyone that loves is begotten of Yahweh and knows Yahweh. He that not knows not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. If you don't love your neighbor or your brother or your sister, even your enemy, you do not know Yahweh and you do not know love. Verse 9, and this was the love of Yahweh manifested in us, that Yahweh has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. He loved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has beheld Yahweh at any time. If we love one another, Yahweh lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever shall confess that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh, Elohim lives in him, and he in Elohim. And we know and have believed the love which Yahweh has in us. Yahweh is love, brethren. And he that lives in love lives in Yahweh, and Yahweh lives in him. And this is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has punishment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love Yahweh, and hates his brother, he is a liar. But he that does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love Yahweh whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves Yahweh loves his brother also. Do you truly have the Spirit of Yahweh? If you have his Spirit, you know love. You will do all that Almighty Yahweh commands, out of love. He loved us first and gave his Son for our sins, so we did not have to die in our sins. We should love Almighty Yahweh. But this, brethren, may Almighty Yahweh bless you and all as you fall deeper in love with him. In closing prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Davis to close with a word of prayer.
Father Yahweh, we come humbly but boldly before your throne. Father Yahweh, as we use your word as a mirror and we see ourselves, Father, we see all those ways and all those things and times that we came up short loving our brother whom we see daily, while we profess that we love you whom we have not seen. We ask, Father, for mercy right now in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our hearts and our minds, our spirits and our souls. You cleanse us and perfect us in love. We ask that you would continue to be our peace in the midst of the storms. As the perfection process is going forward, Father Yahweh, allow us to even hear our brother whom we see daily. And many say that they hear from you, Father, and can't even hear from people they see daily on a daily basis. We ask, Father, that you would just align us, Father, with your Spirit right now. We ask, Father, that you would continue to allow us to go forward. We ask, Father, that you would give us enough love, Father, for those who hate us, Father, to let you deal with them, Father. Those who would be all manner of evil and say all manner of evil against us falsely. We ask, Father, that as we love them enough to leave them in your hands, that you would move, Father. You would get the glory, the praise, and the honor out of these situations. Have mercy upon each and every family represented here. We ask, Father, that you would continue to perfect the love and allow us to grow strong and pure in love, Father, so that we can be examples of your word, fruit of thy word, Father, manifesting in our lives. And we'll continue to praise you, glorify you, and lift you up. We ask these and all of our blessings right now, Father, and that you would even seal this prayer and this word in our lives. In your Son, Yahshua's name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.